please come and share with us your ministry and song. Indeed, it was at my wedding. Betty Widgeon, I could count on you to remember that. All right. Okay. Well, Brother Gibbons, you have the rest of the time and then some. Don't feel obligated to stop right at 7. I'll just keep them a few minutes over. So.
I'm leaving town tomorrow morning, so I suppose I can do pretty much what I want tonight. Well, it's been, for Debbie and I and for the kids, a delight to be here. And I know that for Christy and Danny, a great highlight has been looking forward to coming and spending time with the Widgeons. And we're so glad that they've been able to be there with Anna and a little bit with Daniel. Daniel's not feeling too well, is he? So he's kind of holed up there. But thanks so much for your warm reception and your kindness to us as a family. And thank you so much for praying for us. So many of you have come up to me or to my wife and have said that you are praying for us. And as you receive the updates that we send just about every month, sometimes we get a little behind and they come out every 6 weeks. But nonetheless, we know that there are people in this congregation who are committed to prayer and who are following the ministry there. And we thank you for that. You know, the least you can do is not pray. That's the most you can do. And it's probably the hardest thing that any of us dedicate ourselves to. Isn't that the truth? To prayer. This evening, what I'd like to do is I'd like to share 5 prayer requests, speaking of prayer. And these are things that we've shared everywhere we've been, almost without fail. And afterwards, my wife Debbie is going to come and give you a little bit of an update on our family. And then we're going to go to the PowerPoint. And at the end of the PowerPoint, At some point, at some time, we'd like to give you an opportunity to ask any questions that you may have. So it'll be very simple tonight, but let me share just five prayer requests as we consider the ministry in Argentina, and not just our ministry in the city of Chivilcoy, where we've been, by the way, for 10 years, and most of that will be covered in the PowerPoint, so I don't want to repeat myself. But we think not only of Chivilcoy, but we think of Tim and Christina Gosa in Gualeguaychú. We think of Harold and Priscilla, that many of you know, who are in Greater Buenos Aires, in Temperley, in the Bible Institute. And Harold is interim pastoring one of our churches in the city of Monte Grande. And we have other workers as well. Some of them you probably haven't met before. But so this first prayer request is very simple. It's for new contacts and for souls to be saved. As we think of the work in Chivilcoy and what God has done over the last 10 years, it's not been an easy work, but the ministry has grown. We praise the Lord that numerically we went over the 50 people milestone, which is a big milestone in Argentina. But we also thank the Lord even beyond that for lives that have been genuinely transformed, changed, and for people who have grown in faithfulness in their walk with Christ and in their participation in the ministries of the local church. But the church in Chivilcoy, in order to be a self-supporting church that can be left in the hands of a national pastor, needs to double its attendance. We're between 55 and 60. That needs to be over 100 people in order for the ministry to be viable and in order for it to support itself. And so we're praying for new contacts, and we're praying for the salvation of souls. Pray for the church family when you pray for this, because as has been our experience over the last years, we trust will be the experience in the days ahead, and that's that church growth has come through every person, virtually every person, almost every person, faithfully sowing the seed of the Word of God to their family, to their neighbors, their co-workers. That's where our church growth has come from in the past, and we hope it continues to come in the same way. So pray for new contacts and for the salvation of souls. Pray also for our church building project. You'll see on the PowerPoint just a brief blurb there about the building project we're doing. We thank the Lord that in this, in really a large project for our church family, but we thank the Lord for the sacrificial giving on the part of the people in our church. Approximately one third of what has been spent has come directly from our church offerings. And other things have come from a couple of different sources, but it's so important in missions that churches take responsibility for the building projects, even though they may not be able in a reasonable time, because the size of a group, to finance the whole thing. That's fine too, but it's important that the church family be taking responsibility. When we return to Argentina, Lord willing, we'll be doing the finished work on the addition that has been completed to this point, which includes a multi-purpose room, a kitchen, and two bathrooms. And that's at the back of the property working forward, simply because properties there do not have lateral accesses or alley accesses. So if you're going to build on a property like ours, you have to begin in the back and work your way forward, especially because essentially the property, the part that is built, is a warehouse, and we occupy a portion of that temporarily so that we have a place to meet. So it's a bit complex, but you pray that God will help us to finish this first phase and that He'll supply for the next phase. Thirdly is the camp building project. Several years ago we began this project. It's exciting to see how God in His faithfulness has supplied over $260,000. GMSA has a no solicitation policy, so people never get letters asking to send money for something. And that's very important, and it is especially so in light of how God supplies for the projects. And to see over $260,000 supplied for the building out at the building project out at camp. Camp, you'll see more about that on there, but let me say that We have three camps in Chile, one camp in Uruguay, and we've been holding camps in Argentina for approximately 30 years. We've never owned our own facility. Our facility is not ready to be used yet, but we've been having camps for nearly 30 years. We have presently two youth camps in the year and one family camp. We used to have one camp for everybody, and sometimes as many as 260 people have been present. Because of the difficulty in renting a facility, we've been unable to expand our camping ministry. And as you think of camp, remember that our camp is being built 100 miles from Buenos Aires, a population center of 14 million people. We have seven churches in Greater BA, and we have a great opportunity to use our camp to reach boys and girls and men and women for Christ. And so pray for the camp building project. Our goal is to have our first camp in 2012. In conjunction, this brings us to our fourth prayer request, in conjunction with the camp building project, is prayer for a future seminary. About 1.5 years ago, the General Council of the Mission approved the establishing of a Bible seminary for students that want to train for full-time Christian workers who would be drawn from our churches in Chile, Uruguay, and Argentina. And we wanted to establish that somewhere where both couples and singles could come and live on location. And we have had the great privilege of being asked to host the seminary on this camp property. And obviously that gives a whole nother dimension of purpose to what we're doing there. And so pray for this. We're asking the Lord to supply four couples before we take our next step forward with the seminary. Two missionary couples and two national couples. One of our couples who works in Uruguay has already presented themselves and said that they would give their time full time to the seminary when that day reaches. And so you'll be praying with us for more couples to work in the future seminary in Chivilcoy. By the way, I will not be heading that up. And just like I'm not heading up camping ministry. We have a couple coming to the field. They were just accepted with the mission. Pastor Matt met them, the Morels, and they'll be dedicating their ministry to full-time camping and to the development of the whole program. We had the privilege of heading up the development of the facility, and of course that extends into the seminary now. And then fifthly and finally, please pray with us for workers, both nationals and missionaries. We live in a day of great opportunity. We live in a day of great need. We want to seize the opportunities. For the last 6 or 7 years, the GMSA has been praying for 100 new missionaries by 2014. I believe 20 of those have been accounted for. We still lack 80. I don't know if we'll make the 2014 deadline, and I'm not certain that's the most important thing. But we want to keep aiming, and we want to see God directing people to our ministries, to full-time work in church planting in particular. And so pray also for national workers. Pray for men and women to give their lives to serve the Lord in pastoral ministry, in other types of ministries who are coming up through our local churches. And so those are five prayer requests, and they give you a little bit of understanding of what we're involved with. And at this time, I'm going to have Debbie come and share just a little bit about our family.
This thing is intimidating. First of all, I'd just like to thank the Lord for the privilege of serving Him. Quite a few years ago now, when I was 12 years old, at a Christian camp, at a campfire service, I told the Lord that I would like to be able to look back on my life someday when I got to the end of it and be able to see that He had been able to use me somehow and that I was willing to do whatever He wanted me to do. And as the years have gone by, there have been things that the Lord has asked us to do that I wouldn't have chosen to do. And sometimes I've had to go back and say, Lord, I gave my life to You all those years ago, and I just want You to know that I still mean it, even though I don't really want to do this, more for my own benefit than for His. But I just thank the Lord for His faithfulness in our life, and that it has been a joy to serve Him. not just what the Lord has asked us to do, but it's been a joy to serve Him. And when I think of, I guess, some of the greatest privileges of my life, I think of times sitting with somebody who doesn't know the Lord as their Savior, maybe who doesn't have any concept of a Christian like we do in this country, and see them understand for the first time the fact that the Lord Jesus loves them and died for them. And to see them accept the Lord as their Savior and then begin to little by little grasp the principles of God's Word and put them into practice in their life, and then look for opportunities to serve them, serve Him themselves. There's just no greater thing in the world than that. And I thank the Lord as well, as we think back over the last few years, of for our family and for the privilege of working there in Argentina together with our kids. As Tom mentioned, we have 4 kids. Our oldest daughter is 20, and then we have a son, Andy, who's 18, and then Chrissy, who's 16, and Danny, who's 14, who are with us here tonight. And Katie and Andy are at Northland Baptist Bible College in Wisconsin. This is Andy's first year, so if you think of him, you can pray for all of the adjustments that he's making. And Katie has been gone from home for a couple of years now, so it's been a special summer for us to be here in the States and be able to be all together. We've enjoyed that so much. And our kids have been, we thank the Lord for the asset they've been in our ministry and so many, helped us in so many different ways. In music, they help us care for kids at church. I don't know if you know a lot about South American children, but they tend to be very undisciplined. And so lots of times it's hard to visit with their parents in our house when they come. So the kids have spent hours and hours and hours playing with small kids and helping us in that way very much. I don't think they realize how big of a help that is. And just in a lot of different ways. And so we thank the Lord for that and for the privilege of working with them. I don't know what we're going to do when they're all gone. I guess we'll have to come home from the field. But we thank the Lord as well just for these few months to be here and to be able to come. And thank you personally, as Tom has already mentioned, for praying for us. I don't think either probably we or you realize the full impact of your prayers in our ministry. And so we thank you so much for that.
Thank you, Debbie.
Okay, we're going to...
Every time I do this, it's
with fear and trepidation.
The Gospel Mission of South America began in 1923 when William Strong left his New York business and sailed for Chile with his wife and children. Having visited Bolivia and Chile, Mr. Strong felt God calling him to evangelize Chilean soldiers. In the 30s and 40s, long-term volunteers joined the Strongs, and the mission began to take form. The mission was first called the Soldiers and Gospel Mission of South America. Later, the military ministry was turned over to the Gideons, and the word soldiers was dropped from the name. Establishing local churches became the priority, and over the next decades, dozens were established throughout Chile. Even among the Mapuche Indians, where not even the Catholic Church ventured to go. In 1970, fear of expulsion by the Marxist government motivated the GMSA to send missionaries to Argentina and Uruguay. Today, over 100 churches are established in all 3 countries. God called Mr. Strong home in 1960 while he was giving out gospel tracts on a train in Chile. He would rejoice to see the churches, Christian schools, Bible camps, and Bible institutes now spread throughout the Southern Cone as a result of his obedience to God's call. We've been blessed to be a part of the team in Argentina for 18 years. Argentina is the second largest nation in South America, approximately one-third the size of the continental United States, and has a population of 39 million. Most Argentines are of European descent, primarily Spanish and Italian, but also German, French, Ukrainian, Russian, English, Welsh, and Irish. Syrian and Lebanese descendants account for 250,000, and Argentina has the largest Jewish population in South America and second largest in the Americas. Indigenous people groups form a small part of the country's inhabitants. The third largest metropolis in Latin America, the capital city of Buenos Aires, boasts a population of 14 million people. Known for the world's finest beef, the average Argentine consumes 154 pounds a year, compared to the average American, who consumes 92 pounds a year. Argentina's second world vehicular dance, home to majestic Mount Aconcagua, the tallest peak in the Western Hemisphere, and the River Plate, the widest river in the world. In 2008, Argentina's 47-ton soy harvest gave her the ranking of number 3 soy producer in the world. Argentines are typically fanatics when it comes to soccer, a juicy asado, family, mate, an herbal tea drink, tango, late summer nights on the town, and the gaucho culture and folklore. Though over 90% of Argentines profess Roman Catholicism, other religions and sects form a small part of the religious patchwork. These include Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, Judaism, Islam, which boasts the largest mosque in South America, the lucrative Universal Church, every stripe of Pentecostalism, and others. Less than 5% of Argentines practice biblical Christianity. The rugged Andes form the world's longest exposed chain, spanning over 4,000 miles, while Argentina's Atlantic coastline extends over 3,000 miles, ending at Cape Horn, the country's southernmost tip. The South Atlantic is home to a variety of wildlife. Patagonia takes in the southern Andes, plateaus, and low plains as far as the Atlantic, including beautiful lakes, glaciers, and extensive deserts. This vast arid region is home to the Patagonian jackrabbit, the guanaco, rhea, and the red deer, among many other animals. In the northeastern subtropics, the spectacular Iguazu Falls include 275 falls along a mile and a half stretch and as high as 269 feet. Central Argentina's humid pampas provide wetlands for abundant wildlife, while boasting the richest soil in the Western Hemisphere, making for some of the most productive farmland in the world. Argentina benefits from abundant natural resources, a highly literate population, an export-oriented agricultural sector, and a diversified industrial base. Historically, however, Argentina's economic performance has been tainted by high economic growth, alternating with severe recessions, especially over the last 30 years. Though one of the richest countries in the 20th century, Argentina is now considered an emerging economy. With the worst drought in 50 years, the return of double-digit unemployment, fear of financial meltdown, governmental mismanagement, political corruption and inefficiency, and rising unrest, Argentines are disillusioned and deeply concerned for their future and that of their children. The greatest need for Argentines is neither better government nor economic growth, but eternal salvation through repentance and faith in Christ. To that end, we partnered with co-workers Lois McAllister and Lois Kenny in December of 1999 to establish a church in Chivilcoy. Chivilcoy is located on the Pampas, 100 miles southwest of Buenos Aires, and has a population of 70,000, is predominantly Italian, has a strong middle class, is agriculturally driven, but less than 1% of the population attends any evangelical church. In the first 18 months of ministry, we advanced from our living room to the garage, then rented a storefront for 3 years. In 2003, the church purchased an old warehouse, and the next year temporary renovations were done so it could be used for ministry. God has blessed our church with both spiritual and numerical growth. Many hours are spent visiting new contacts and encouraging the church family. Each new believer is pursued for discipleship, and many go on to study Source of Light, self-Bible studies. Others have attended classes we've taught as an extension of our Bible Institute. Every year, adults and youth pass through the waters of baptism, giving public testimony of their identification with Christ. Over the last 5 years, the church has grown from 35 to 60, resulting mostly from the church family's faithfulness in witnessing, pursuing, and bringing friends and loved ones. Training and involving others multiplies the ministry potential of the church and results in great blessing. This involves everything from training Sunday school teachers, mentoring youth leaders, giving leadership training and teaching music, to giving participation in leading meetings, serving in the nursery, scripture readings, special music, the annual Christmas program, and playing instruments. Pray for numerical growth in the faithful nucleus of the church so that gifts and talents may be developed and surrendered to God. bi-weekly ladies' Bible studies, and monthly men's breakfasts provide an opportunity to challenge men and women to live consecrated to Christ, committed to His church, and fulfill their biblical role in the home, workplace, and community. They also provide an opportunity for evangelistic outreach. Youth ministry is among the most challenging. Heavy peer pressure in public schools, television, unsupervised internet and cell phone use, parental absence from the home, indifference to teenage immorality, high percentage of smoking, drug abuse, and the typical postmodern denial of absolutes expose our youth daily to intense spiritual warfare. Please pray for spiritual victory in their lives. With church growth has come the need for expansion. Phase one of our building project is nearly complete and includes a multi-purpose room, kitchen, and two bathrooms. Pray for God's supply to finish the first phase and continue with the second. In 2005, God provided for the purchase of 25 acres of land, just 4 miles from Chivilcoy and 100 miles from Buenos Aires. We were asked to oversee the development of facilities for camps, retreats, and conferences for a maximum capacity of 300 people. Our first project was forestation to provide future shade during the extremely hot summer season. Each year, trees are added, watered all summer, and ants are combated. Eventually, electricity was installed, fencing put up, a well was dug, and a half mile of roads were built. In 2007, the maintenance building was erected, and in August of 2005, the caretaker's home was finished. We're grateful for Martin and Sandra Gorosito, who now live with their children at camp and serve as caretakers. Lord willing, Martin will one day be director of property maintenance. Seeing God's provision has been a great testimony both to our national churches and local contractors. Praise the Lord for teams from our national churches that have participated in many work days and for building teams from the U.S. that have labored sacrificially on both buildings, saving thousands of dollars. Currently under construction is our main building, which will be the hub of activity for the camp. It will house the kitchen, dining hall, and chapel. In June, James and Donnell Morrell were accepted with the GMSA and appointed to work full-time in camping and church planting in Argentina. Please pray for James, Donnell, and their 4 children as they begin their pre-field ministry and prepare to join us on the battlefront.
Tom and I thank the Lord for 22 years of marriage and 20 years of ministry and missions. God is always good. We're grateful to the Lord for our 4 children and for the talents and gifts He's equipped them with and how they've used them at our side in the ministry. This year, Andy will join Katie at Northland Baptist Bible College in Wisconsin, and Christy and Danny will continue with us a few more years in Argentina. We covet your prayers for our children as they transition out of the nest, that they will follow Christ faithfully and discover His will for their future.
Pay attention to this next picture. George Black in January. It's not easy. It will never be easy. It never was easy, but it's glorious. Yes, there are difficulties, but it's glorious.
George Black gave his life testimony in February at our annual missionary conference. And you know he's been around a few years when he tells about his football injury back in the 20s. He was in South America for 69 years and was a man of great encouragement and gave a lot of wisdom to all of us. Debbie, would you come? Let me see. We have a pianist around here. There she is. Thanks, Dad.
given us the spirit of fear. God has given us the strength to obey. With power and sound mind, with love the unfailing kind, oh, be not ashamed of His way. May the Lord
more than patient tonight. We'd like to give you an opportunity to ask any questions that perhaps have been inspired by something we've said or something you've seen this evening. So don't be bashful. Be courageous. If you have a question, now's the opportunity. Anybody at all? Yes. Yes, we're not subject to ocean storms, but we do get lots of tropical storms. And most of those are the result of the collision of hot Brazilian air with winds that come from the far south of Argentina. Anything else? Anything at all? Probably some did. The fact of the matter is the Argentine government was among the many nations that closed the door to the Jews. I wouldn't say that none came, but Argentina already had a fairly large Jewish population. I'm not certain what the figures are today, but not long ago there were 600,000 Jews in Argentina. And it is, again, as you saw, the second largest Jewish population in the Americas. Obviously the largest in South America. The largest, by the way, I believe, is here in the United States, in the Americas. Yes?
How do you structure your outreach programs?
Well,
evangelism is like, if you're right there, what is your methodological approach to evangelism?
Yeah. Our primary approach to evangelism is what you probably heard known as friendship evangelism. We live in a community with static growth. We don't have a lot of displaced peoples. Where you have displaced peoples, you have a lot more programs that are effective for outreach. But where you have people that are second, third, and fourth generation, they're very, very entrenched in their lifestyles and in their families and in their traditions. And so we find ourselves needing to build relationships, genuine relationships with people, and gaining their confidence in order to have an opportunity to share Christ with them. However, simply because of the fact that we are not from there, people constantly want to know what we're doing there. And that obviously gives us an opportunity to speak to them for Christ. But our primary means of evangelism is through building friendships. Now, we also have different activities throughout the year. And among those, for example, would be in July. One day in July is the International Day of Friendship. And we take advantage of that. And the Sunday closest to the International Day of Friendship, we have an evangelistic outreach. And we encourage our people to bring friends on that day. And that whole day is an evangelistic emphasis. We promote that a month in advance, 6 weeks in advance, and pray for that. We also, surrounding Easter, have evangelistic meetings. We've done this 3 years in a row. And here's where you may understand just a little bit about what I was trying to explain. Our visitors to our evangelistic meetings are usually very few. Over 3 days, which are usually Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, I think our record is 12 visitors. However, it is a means of outreach and evangelism, and I think we should do it. And usually, those opportunities are for making contacts. We've never seen anybody make a decision for Christ in one of those events, but we certainly have had contacts born out of them. And so that would probably be the best answer to your question. We definitely calculatedly practice friendship evangelism, building friendships with people and gaining their trust. Very, very important in the culture that we're living in. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, of course, Spanish is the first language, but you will have language speakers, or I guess you can say it that way, for every group that was mentioned there. Hands down, lots of Italian people that speak Italian. A lot of English-speaking people. English is a very popular language to learn, as you know, and so there are many English institutes around. Even in our city, there are many, many English institutes, and so there are a lot of people that do very well with English. We have, interestingly, a historic Ukrainian population, and we have a recent Russian population. And you know that Ukraine used to be part of the old USSR, and that's the relationship there, but so there's Russian spoken, there's Ukrainian. We have Ukrainians in our church, though today none of them that I'm aware of are still retaining the Ukrainian language. And in the south of Argentina, we have a great Welsh population. There's a whole valley down there near the Atlantic where you can go and you can visit Welsh tea houses. And you can buy Welsh pastries. You hear English spoken. I haven't heard Welsh spoken, but you hear English spoken around the city there, the city of Treleo. And so we have that as well. We also have a lot of people from the neighboring countries, Chile, Bolivia, Paraguay, and Brazil in Argentina. And so there is a variety of language, yes. Yes.
What happened to the GMSA efforts in Chile?
Well, the GMSA never did have to leave Chile because, as you may know, there was a military takeover and Pinochet was in power for many years there from 73 to 91. And he was actually a borderline sympathizer with evangelicals. And so it was either right before he was finished or soon after that all religions in Chile became equal. In other words, the Roman Catholic Church no longer stood alone is the major recipient of all the favors and benefits. And so there is a true equality in Chile, much more so than we would have in Argentina. And the GMSA grew in Chile to such an extent that it traditionally has been our largest field for missionaries. We have about close to 100 churches. I know they're counting like 85 churches in Chile, but our national churches are reproducing themselves. And sometimes as a mission, we don't even hear about it. And so there are a lot of country churches in the Andean region. And so there's a lot going on down in Chile. And yes, the mission has gone forth there and grown and continues to do a great work in Chile. Anybody else? Pastor.
Yeah, can you remind us where you were before 99?
Yes, we were in Greater Buenos Aires, in the south end of Greater Buenos Aires, in the city of Temperley. Temperley, you asked about language, you know what Temperley? Temperley was a Scottish settlement. And the British built the rails there, so we have Temperley and we have Banfield, names like that. We were in Temperley, and we were involved in a replanting effort on the outskirts of Temperley. It was a church that had been around for many, many years, and that nearly came to a closure. And so we were there for 8 years in a replant, if you will. Anybody else? Prior to that, we were in Peru for a year. Just to mention that. Okay. Well, I'm not going to hold you hostage. Betty.
How long did it take you to get used to the language where you felt comfortable preaching and answering questions and all that?
Yeah. I would say that it takes typically 2 to 4 years. I can't remember exactly how long it took me. But I would say that by our second term, I was pretty comfortable in Spanish. It took at least 3 or 4 years to be able to understand people that speak rapidly. And there are people that it just sounds like a machine gun shooting off. When the language is new to you, it's very hard to capture what they're saying. But it is very true as you spend year after year in that setting and using so much Spanish, you actually begin to dream in Spanish, you think in Spanish, and it's a hard transition to come back to the States. And to some degree, your English gets locked into a time capsule, and your vocabulary begins to form all kinds of little holes in it. Of course, that's changing because of the computer age and because of Facebook and email and all of this and online newspapers. It's better than it used to be. But it's a hard transition to come to the States and preach again in English. It takes me several opportunities before I feel comfortable. And I really just feel best in Spanish. It's really, and thank the Lord for that, really. Yes. That is an excellent question. They are not confined to any geographical part of Argentina. In fact, you'll find gauchos from north to south in Argentina. And certainly they are around our neck of the woods. And after they've been out on the pampas for a period of time working and get their paychecks, are able to get into town. It's not uncommon to see from time to time gauchos come in dressed out in all of their garb. And it's a sight, no matter how many times you've seen it. It's impressive to see it. So, yes, there are gauchos still in Argentina, all over the place. Anybody else? James. I would call it... you know, you're going to say, well, that's religious, but in our setting, it's cultural and religious, but it's Roman Catholicism is the greatest challenge because, as you know, the Church of Rome uses a lot of our terminology, but they don't preach salvation by faith alone, through grace alone. They don't believe in the finished work of Christ on the cross, and those are foundational doctrines. And these folks are very much in bondage to images, confused. They don't understand what their own church teaches. They select the parts they want to believe and ignore the others. And yet Catholicism permeates the very fiber of their society. And it also provides them with the opportunity to lead sinful lives. If you know anything about Catholicism, you know that people can lead sinful lives and then they can go and confess themselves to the priest and carry on as if nothing had happened. And so that's our greatest challenge. You know, Catholicism is promoted in public schools. When we have Bible clubs, we routinely lose children when they reach the age of confirmation, because in the public school, they're pressured into confirmation, and in confirmation, they're grilled on their religious activity. When they find out that they're involved in an evangelical church, their parents are pressured to pull them away from that. And if the parents don't attend church, well, then you see what happens generally. We always lose children that way. So that's probably the greatest cultural religious difficulty that we face. Would you agree with that, Debbie? Can you think of something else? Denying Catholicism is denying your family, your friendships. It goes way beyond the church, she said, and that's right. Any other questions? Well, we probably wouldn't. It's rare to have new people move into the neighborhood. But in the course of our daily living, whether it's buying groceries or buying fuel or contacts that are made through building these buildings for camp and for the church, we make friendships with people, our neighbors as well. And then our people that come to church, they have a network of contacts and they introduce us to them. And we simply seek to become friends with these people so that we can gain their trust and answer their questions and have an opportunity to expose them to the gospel. We do not do door-to-door in our part of Argentina. Door-to-door evangelism is done in other parts. But it's where we live in Chivilcoy, it just simply closes doors. It doesn't open doors. People are very offended by someone coming to their door and insisting. And I think we need to respect that. You know, we need to find another way to reach folks. Anything else at all? Okay. Well, thank you very much for being such a gracious audience today. Thank you for coming out and hearing about the work in Argentina. And I trust that you will know how better to pray not only for the Gibbons, but for the Gosens. And you can certainly be assured of our appreciation of all your kindnesses and expressions of love to us. And so thank you very much, Pastor Matt.
Somebody take down those 5 prayer requests. Brother Bill, why don't you lead us in a couple of those at least, if not all 5 of them. And while you're getting ready for that, I just wanted to say we, in our vacation Bible school, we took up a little offering of pennies for your camp. So we will get those funds to you one way or the other. Yeah, we know where the headquarters are, so we'll get it down there. But so that's a great... That was great to see all those pictures and get that update. Brother Bill, will you lead us in prayer? We'll join our hearts in prayer for these requests that Brother Gibbons has brought to our attention. Well, thank you for coming tonight. I trust that you'll stick around, fellowship one with another for as long as you want. And we will enjoy that. We'll see you again soon. Remember Kids for Truth on Wednesday. We're a new kids ministry. And we look forward to that outreach to our children as well as to others in the neighborhood as well. So keep that in mind, too. Lord bless you and keep you. We'll see you again soon.